Aloha kākou. This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. Hawaii Talks. I'm Noe Tanigawa. And eating around's a regular feature on the Aloha Fridays show, and recently a lot of that has been in our own kitchens. But today, we're stepping out again to talk with Roy Yamaguchi, founder and chef of Roy's Restaurants. His food businesses range from resort fine dining to cruise ship operations, and lately, he says, his original neighborhood Roy's in Hawaii Kai has been doing the best.
So for the majority of your businesses, which were in resort areas or tourism, travel related, those businesses are down to what, zero or negative actually?
Definitely it's down to zero because we're not operating.
Right, but negative, right? How much does this cost a month, Roy?
Well, you know what? I don't really want to get into details about how much it costs, you know, but at the end of the day, it's costly. My whole thing is to come out of it and to continue to work hard and to rebuild something that our team and I have built over 30 years. So, I mean, we're not going to go down without swinging hard.
That's why we're talking to you. Well, is there a way to break even, you know, with social distancing and takeout? Maybe including the sidewalks?
Hey, listen, you know what? It's really hard to tell, I mean, at this point in time. You know, the bottom line is that, you know, depending on how the customers react to all of this and to get some, you know, help from, you know, our landlords. I mean, this is a new era for everybody. And that's the way you have to look at it. The foundation is still there. You know, hard work, being creative, being innovative, always changing, evolving. All of those things are going to continue to be there, but they just have to be exercised in a different way. We've always sanitized our restaurants. It's just that, you know, it just has to be done more aggressively in the eyes of our consumers. You know, before we used to hide and do all of these different things. As I look for the future and I look at, you know, how we can stay afloat and how we can create a living for all of us, I don't see the to-go business going away. I truly believe that the to-go business is going to be a vital part to the strength and survival of a business. It's a new way of just operating. But I think that, you know, we have to all come together and realize that it's not going to be an easy task. It's not one of these situations where you can say, okay, this is my job and that's it. You know, everybody has to be multitasked. Everybody has to be able to do different things at the same time. And then the restaurant's going to have to work with landlords, and the landlords have to work with bankers. And everybody has to pull through and work as a team.
It's Roy Yamaguchi, founder and chef of Roy's Restaurants. Sounds like he's saying restaurants are going to have to make to-go fabulous. Roy's Hawaii Kai, also in Ko'olina, and Goan in Kailua, plan to open up dining next week. But reopening, you know, I mean, under semi-pandemic conditions, what exactly does that take? Not just for, you know, large operations, but for the many tiny eateries that we all love. For that, we're turning to Greg Maples, the incoming president of the Hawaii Restaurant Association. I had to ask, how are restaurants weighing this situation?
Well, if you think about restaurants during the pandemic, some restaurants lost up to 80-85% of their sales. Now, you lose 80-85% of your sales, but your rent has stayed the same. A lot of landlords have given abatements. We've had some good landlords that are good people, been on the island for many, many years, want to see people succeed. But that's the other thing about Hawaii is the margins on restaurants are a lot lower here than they are in a lot of other places.
What are profit margins normally like here in Hawaii?
On the mainland, most restaurants are around 20%. Here, you're probably 5 to 8% if you're lucky.
These are different kinds of people who go into business when you're expecting a 20% profit margin or an 8% profit margin.
That's why I love these owners and operators of Hawaii. These are people who really are in their business. I mean, these are, you talk about skin in the game, they got it. Because our margins are so much smaller here, this pandemic has really tested our owners and operators. And I, quite honestly, what keeps me up at night are the decisions these folks are having to make on a daily basis, whether to stay open, whether to close. You know, and in some cases, some of them will end up closed and bankrupt. So let's go back to the cost structure. So now I've lost 80% of my sales. Who do I bring back? What you'll find is a lot of these restaurant owners are working, right? They're and some of them who are have maybe kind of retired, let family run it. They're back working in these restaurants every single day. And they've tried to keep only the minimum number of people that they need. A couple of things happened. The PPP program came out for the funding from the federal government, not all restaurants got that.
Can you estimate what percentage of local restaurants did get something out of that?
I would say probably 40 to maybe 50% at the high end got it. And the reason why I say that is because a lot of restaurants that closed during the pandemic didn't even apply. They just closed. And the other thing I want to be real clear about is the restaurants that have closed during the pandemic, probably 60% of those won't open again. They just won't be able to do it because they don't have any cash. You have to have cash to buy the food to be delivered. You have to have cash to pay your utilities. You have to have cash to pay your employees. And they're cashless right now. They have no money. And so without a loan, without a PPP, we're going to see a lot of restaurants just not open. We're grateful for Mayor Caldwell and for Governor Ige for allowing us to open on June 5th. They've had good ears and they've listened well. And so the guidelines that you say can't come out, there's a lot of it that came from the HRA with the help of the Department of Health. They've been really great people. I just want to say that.
You know, there are a lot of people complaining that things have been closed down, shut down too long. Is the Hawaii Restaurant Association, you know, in that camp?
A couple of things. One is we're very grateful that we've kept the people of Hawaii safe. Okay, we have done an excellent job. And I know the mayor and the governor say that all the time, but we really have. However, it is time to open the state. We have to, because we are opening up these restaurants to Kama'aina. If you open up dining areas to Kama'aina, instead of losing 80%, now maybe you're gonna be up to 60% loss in sales. You can't bring everybody back of your employees, so they're gonna stay furloughed or on unemployment. And I wanna say this as well. Right now, Hawaii is not feeling the real brunt of this because of the 600 plus up from the federal government. That 600 plus up has been a real blessing for so many people. Now, as restaurant owners and operators, we're not only stuck with the fact that we're still, even when we get our dining back, we're gonna be at, let's say, best case scenario, 50% of our sales, best case scenario. Now we're gonna have a hard time bringing employees back. And the ones who do come back, we gotta make sure they make as much money as they were on unemployment, right? The answer to that is open the island to tourism. It's the answer to helping sales go up.
Huh. You're talking about getting up to 50% of your old revenue as a best case scenario. Long term, what are we looking at here, Greg?
So 50% of your inside seating, that's tough. But to make that your new normal, you're going to have a new normal in rent, a new normal in labor, a new normal in speed of service, a new normal in cost.
What percent of restaurants do you think will be reopening?
Well, I think all of the restaurants that are open now will open their dining rooms over the next week. So I think those that are open, but my guess is only probably less than 40, 50% of those that are closed will reopen. And then the sad part is if we don't open it to tourism, the majority of those restaurants will close back down again. They just won't be able to make it. You know, the other thing I want to say that I'm really worried about is if we don't push the tourism button soon enough and the economy goes down, young people are going to leave this island to go find jobs that will pay them in places that they can afford. 13 out of 13 of my grandchildren are not on this island, and I could never entice them to come back because of how tough it is here. If this economy goes down, people are gonna leave here and we won't get them back. That breaks my heart because I want to raise a generation of people that love the island and love the lifestyle and will perpetuate it, but you can't promise them low-paying jobs, high tax rates, and you're gonna have to live four generations in a home. They're gonna go somewhere else and get jobs, and that worries me.
We've been talking with Greg Maples, incoming president, Hawaii Restaurant Association, and Greg gave a huge shout-out to Kila Restaurants on his Ko'olaloa side of the island. We know you're great. Papa Ole's, Tita's Grill with Junior IU, Chop Suey, Seven Brothers, and his own place, Pounders at PCC, which is set to reopen June 8th. Fist pump to all of you. Grocery stores have become a larger part of our lives in this COVID-19 period. For many, it's the outing of the week. And we've all noticed changes, too. Shopping carts sanitized between customers, a sanitizing station just inside the door. Grocers are implementing coronavirus accommodations across the board, according to Lauren Zerbel, executive director of the Hawaii Food Industry Association. If the grocers you've been to look busy, Zerbel says they are.
We actually had to increase our hiring. We're one of the few industries that is currently hiring people. So if you're looking for a job, we encourage you to look in the food industry because a lot of our retailers and suppliers are hiring right now, especially suppliers that supply primarily grocery stores. We have very in-depth protocols that are put in place by our national association about how to best sanitize the store, the cart, and just general good hygiene protocols. So that takes up a lot of time. So that's why we had to cut store hours. And we anticipate that those will continue probably until there's a vaccine. So people really in the grocery industry see that as sort of the new normal is these new sanitation requirements and then also social distancing and mask wearing. It's been implemented across all channels, including our suppliers.
You've seen the ebbs and flows in the grocery aisles, right, Lauren? How's the supply chain doing?
There was a massive transition between food service to grocery. The types of items that are sold to restaurants look very different than the types of items that are sold at a grocery store. So the national manufacturers and local manufacturers had to sort of repackage a lot of the actual food product because the demand was obviously at the retail level and not at the food service level anymore, which is funny because it's sort of the opposite trend we've been seeing for the last 10 years. And in fact, many grocery stores had been moving more towards a food service model, providing prepared food to people. But there was a huge drop in demand for food service, even within grocery stores, which would indicate that at least in the beginning of the COVID-19 crisis, many people, up to 60% or so, felt uncomfortable having someone else cook their food. So it really changed the demand structure of how food is packaged was one of the primary issues. And then, of course, there are those certain items that were hoarded, like toilet paper and hand sanitizer and Lysol. And those items, in some cases, we're still trying to get back to normal on. It's anyone's guess as to how many people return and, you know, what the shift backwards will look like towards food service. We know that a lot of things that we used to do won't be allowed anymore, like the buffet style foods are not recommended anymore. So you probably won't be seeing that for a while.
You know, what percentage of the materials that were intended for the restaurants do you think were successfully rerouted to the retail sector?
Well, a lot of them were donated in the beginning to efforts to feed the hungry. We had very high unemployment in this state and a very large number of hungry people. And so a lot of our suppliers that had supplied food service operations were very, very generous and ended up donating a lot of those products that were used for prepared meals for seniors and for children and people that were going through extreme financial hardship as a result of being unemployed. There wasn't a shortage of food ever.
What do you think and what are grocery stores doing about the waste stream that's created here now?
So it's actually a huge problem that we have these new rules and regulation that are supposed to take effect in some cases within the next year that would require retailers to use much more expensive packaging. We didn't realize that COVID-19 would happen and that the number of containers that we're going to need to use is going to be so much higher, even to meet like federal health guidelines, you know? So actually, I don't think it's a problem from a waste stream management issue. I think we've all seen the newspaper articles about how H-Power doesn't have enough trash to burn to fulfill their contract because we don't have a lot of tourists here right now. But yeah, it is a problem from a cost perspective and from an availability and supply perspective. If we're not allowed to use plastic single-use containers anymore, that is something we're actually rather concerned with right now.
Is there any group trying to work toward, you know, somehow accommodating all the concerns involved?
We're in discussions with a lot of different businesses that have been impacted, and we're trying to come up with solutions to try to address this issue. You know, I don't think anyone anticipated at the start of this how long this would last. This is really going to be impacting people's lives for however long it takes until we can have a vaccine or until there's herd immunity. And I don't think we're going to have herd immunity. So we're waiting for a vaccine, essentially, and we're waiting for everyone to be able to access it that needs it. And so that could take over a year. So we have to find a way to survive until we can get the virus under control. And that means that we have to follow these new procedures and sanitation requirements and be extra careful about how we're handling our food.
Exactly. We've been talking with Lauren Zirbel, Executive Director of the Hawaii Food Industry Association, which also produces that annual love fest for all things local, the Made in Hawaii Festival. Trumpets here, please. Lauren said it's going online. You won't have to park on Punch Bowl and walk to the Blaisdell this year. No, their launch around the same time as the usual festival. That's late August. And they'll be getting all those 400 exhibitors and maybe even more of them online. Applications are open now. MadeInHawaiiFestival.com. Find links with this story on the conversation page.